Hello and welcome to the Tao of June, Living an Inspired Life. Today I am thinking about how strange we are, human beings. And maybe it is because we are so intelligent, we are also so complicated. Because I was thinking to myself, like, why is it that a lot of times I know what it is I should do or what I shouldn't do, but yet I find myself either doing or not doing the things I know I should or shouldn't do? Like, I know that I should go to the gym and exercise, but it's like, and I know that if I do that consistently every single day, I will be strong and healthy, and I'll also, you know, look attractive, I'll be physically attractive, and all these, you know, all good things. So then why do I have a hard time going, right? When I used to smoke cigarettes, it says there right on the box, this stuff will kill you, you know? If you inhale this, you are an idiot because this is poison. It says it right there on the box. Maybe not in that way. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But it's like, I don't care. You know, like, and I knew it was bad for me, and I still was doing it, you know? And I remember one time I was out having a smoke break with my coworkers. We were all outside around the, you know, the ashtray outside and the designated smoking area. And we were all just smoking our cigarettes, killing ourselves, and somebody walking by said, you know, that stuff will kill you. And I thought I was being very clever, and I was like, well, so will life. Life will kill you, you know, keep living, and you'll see, you know? But the person was right. It's like, that stuff will kill you faster than, you know, you're gonna die a lot sooner than you need to, and it's probably gonna be a lot more painful and difficult than it needs to be. You know, and we're doing that to ourselves. It's like, why do we do that? You know, even Paul wrote in the Bible, in Romans, I believe, you know, it's like, you know, that which I know I should do, I don't do, and that which I know I should not do, I find myself doing. You know, it's like, why is the human animal like that? Why are we like this? You know, like, for example, we all know that becoming rich and famous is not going to make you happy. We all know this, right? I mean, it's almost like a blanket statement that everybody just obviously knows, because it was not obvious. We all know this because there have been so many examples of it, countless examples. We could just go through the list of famous, wealthy people who have committed suicide, been in and out of rehab, you know, have alcohol problems. They're miserable. Not everyone, of course, I'm just saying, but it is almost rare to find that person that is truly happy and fulfilled and at peace with themselves, and they are rich and happy and famous. It's, I don't know, that's usually the outlier, you know? But yet we all want it. You know, everyone's on TikTok, everyone's on Instagram, everyone's trying to, you know, become famous, because they think it's going to make them happier than they feel now. Everyone wants to become rich, you know, because they feel like, well, being rich is better than being poor. So, you know, like, I want to become rich, and if I'm rich, I'm going to be happy because, you know, people are going to be impressed with me, and, you know, people are going to be nice to me, and, you know, and I'm going to have all the, you know, it's like, I don't know. We know becoming rich doesn't actually make you happy, yet we want it anyways. It's really weird. We go for it anyways. It's like, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, we all know that we're not going to live forever. Yet, we live our lives as if we are. As if we have all the time in the world. You know? It's like, no, we don't. I don't know. The Dalai Lama even says, like, the human animal is the strangest creature because we sacrifice our health in order to make money. And then we sacrifice all our money in order to try to regain our health. And then we die without ever really having lived our life. And I just, and that might not be word for word, that's just how I remember it, but the point is still the same. How differently would we live if we really believed and understood that our time here is limited? And no matter how much wealth and power you accumulate during your time here, it all washes away like, you know, the writing on the sand, in the sand at the beach, you know? It's like writing your name in the sand. And just because you dug deeper and now you have a really big ditch, you know, that in the shape of your name, you know, you dug the letters so deep that, you know, you can see it from the sky even. You know, people all around can see, you know, this amazing, you know, sand design that you made. And it says your name. And you made a, you even made a sand a statue, you know? You've made a sand castle that looks like you, you know? And you crafted it so well and so amazing, you know? And that's how you spend your time at the beach, right? And you are convinced that your time spent was worth it because it's gonna last, because you put so much time and effort into it, and you dug your the letters of your name in the sand so deep that you're convinced that it's gonna last. Just give it one night. Just give it one night, man, and go back out there the next day, and it won't be there no more. It'll wash away with the tide. And that's exactly, you know, it's like trying to accumulate wealth and making a name for yourself and everything. It's like it washes away with the tide once you're gone. And like, how long does generational wealth last? I think they said the longest generational wealth ever lasted was 7 generations, and that was the Medici family that was able to do that, I believe. But yeah, it's like, it doesn't last generations and generations, no. Because usually the generation that follows, they squander it. Because they don't know what it took to accumulate it. And they don't understand all the hard work and effort and the resilience, you know, that you need. The strength that you need to do all of that and, you know, accumulate that wealth and maintain it. They don't know. But to them, they think that they know. They believe that they're also self-made. If you talk to any children of the affluent is what they call them in the book, The Millionaire Next Door. They talk about rich kids. They call them the children of the affluent. And if you talk to them, they actually believe, they are convinced that they are also self-made millionaires. Even though it was their parents that were the self-made millionaires, they built the business, whatever it was, and they built the you know, the wealth, and, you know, they gave their children the best lives, private schools, all of the opportunities that they never had. And these kids grow up believing that they are also self-made. And if you ask them why they believe that, they say because they're the ones that worked hard in school. They're the ones that went and got the good grades. Yeah, their parents may have paid for the school, but they're the ones who had to really put in the effort and studied hard and made the good grades. And so, you know, yeah, they believe they did the chores, right, every once in a while. No, they actually didn't, because they probably had maids and everybody, you know, housekeepers making their beds for them. So it's like, but they believe that they did it. And it's crazy. It really is. I mean the word crazy in the clinical term. That's crazy. They are crazy, literally. I mean, look at the Johnson & Johnson, you know, family's daughter. You know, like, a lot of people who grew up wealthy usually end up clinically depressed. And we know this, you know, it's like, we know that spoiling your child literally spoils your child. But we want to do it anyways, you know, like, Yeah, I don't know. Like, even my kids, I find myself sometimes, you know, I catch myself feeling bad that I don't have more money, I can't take them to Disney World, you know? You know, some of their friends, you know, they hear about their vacations that they're going on. It's like, oh, man, I can't afford to take them on a vacation like that, you know? Like, I kind of feel bad, you know, kind of feel ashamed of myself as a parent. You know, like, maybe I should be doing better, you know, so I can, you know, I guess keep up, right, with the other families, what they're doing. It's like, no, I gotta remind myself, you know, like, we all know, just by reading about all the people throughout history who have ever been rich and famous, and, you know, like, the, you know, just study them, you know, just, and it's like, we all know this, you know, like, I forget which really wealthy investor it was. I think it was Ray Dalio or someone. It was in the book, I Will Teach You to Get Rich. And in that book called I Will Teach You to Get Rich, the guy was talking about one of the big investors. I forget his name, but he actually apologized to his children and told them that he really feels that he owes them an apology because he ruined them. He was saying that, like, he gave them a handicap, a huge, severe handicap that they will never really be able to get over because they were born and raised rich. And he was saying that everything that he became, everything that he is proud of and that gave him the strength of character and everything, it was because he struggled and he was poor, you know, he wasn't rich. That's where he gained all of the strength of character and all the integrity and the resilience, you know, the inner fortitude. You know, that's how he became the person he became, was through the struggle, you know, through the challenges, through the difficulty, not the ease, not the comfortable life. That doesn't create anybody strong. So, yeah, it's like we know this. But yet we feel bad that we're not spoiling our kids like the other parents can. It's like, no. If anything, I should make less money. You know, if I really care about my kids, you know, we should be on the street struggling. I'm kidding. You know, like, there is a certain amount that we need in order to feel happy. Because if you cannot put, you know, food on the table, you know, and if you can't even afford groceries to cook dinner for your family, yeah, it's hard to feel content. It's hard to feel happy and satisfied with your life. So you do need a certain amount of money. That's why I go out and work every day. But after a certain amount, then we have to decide, is our time better spent making more of this money? Or is it better spent making memories and experiences with my children? You know? Because when my kids are not here with me, when they're in Tennessee, yeah, I'll take an extra job, side gigs, you know. The gig economy, you know, the new economy with Wanolo and DoorDash, you know, Uber, Lyft, all of these different services. There's so many ways to make some side monies, you know, a little side hustle. And I have this app called Wanolo, and everyone's, you know, I mean, it keeps sending me people who are looking for people to work that day. Or that night. And when my daughters aren't here, yeah, I'll work day and night. I don't care. But when my daughters are here with me, like they are now, you know, I got a notification earlier because I was working on a dog and I was finishing up. And I told my daughter I'm going to take her to a place called Tiny Town because she's 15 now and she's going to be 16 soon. And she's going to be driving, you know? So I want to take her to this place where they teach them how to drive, you know, in golf carts. But it's like they take real road tests, they take written tests, you know, and they prepare the kids to when they are going to drive for real. So I told her I would take her there, and I get this notification, $17.25 an hour down in Noonan, working at this place, HelloFresh. You know, you just stand in a line, easy money. You just stand there and push buttons. Put ingredients in the box. Easy money. For $17.25, it's like I'm just, you know, I'm getting paid to listen to podcasts. Anyways, yeah, I was actually tempted to take the job. I'll take the gig tonight. It's from 7 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. And I was like, yeah, that gives me time to go home, cook dinner, and then I'll go to work. But then it's like, but my kids are here though, you know? And it's like, no, I've already gone out and worked. I've already made enough for today. You know, give us this day our daily bread, not give us this day tomorrow's bread too, you know? So I have enough, I made enough, and now it's time to go make memories with my daughters, you know? And it's like, I don't know, if we knew the exact date that we were going to die, let's just say that there was like something that we could somehow see our future, and we knew exactly the time and day that we were going to die, and we knew it was unavoidable. Some tragic accident's going to happen, and no matter how much we try to stop it, and be, you know, even though we know what's going to happen, it has to happen. And so now we know that we're going to die, I don't know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, pick a number. How differently would we live each day if we knew that that unavoidable death was coming, right? Now let's just stretch it out. Pick a day. How long do you want to live? Till you're 85, 86, 90, 100, 120? What is your number? Because I've seen some 100-year-olds, and it doesn't look fun. I'll tell you that right now. It doesn't look like a lot of fun. So I'm not sure if I want to see 100, you know? I don't think that life is more meaningful because you checked more years, you know? I'd rather live 30 years full of adventure than 100 years tucked away in a corner, you know? So, for me, I think my number would probably be like 86, 88. Seems like a good number, right? Maybe 90, I don't know. That's pushing it, you know? But yeah, maybe 90. Happy birthday to you. Yay! And I blow out the candles and go face first right into the cake. You know what I'm saying? Take me. Take me out of my misery. You know what I'm saying? That was my last breath. My wish was, I wish I was dead. Anyways, my number would probably be like 86, right? And I'm 42 now. So what is that? That gives me like 44 more years, right? 44 more years. That means that if I were to take a family vacation once a year, which I don't, right? I can't afford to miss time out at work and, you know, so if I do take little vacations, it's little mini vacations, little weekend getaways, and that's okay, you know, but let's just say I do like a weekend getaway with my kids, you know, where we go, just go somewhere for the weekend and we stay in a hotel or something and we just go somewhere and just enjoy a little vacation, right? Let's say I do that once a year, right? Then instead of thinking I have 44 more years with my kids to do those things with, no. Jim Rohn is where I got this idea, but he said, don't kid yourself. You don't have 44 more years. You have 44 more times at the most, because there are going to be some years, especially towards the end, where you probably won't have the energy. You probably won't physically be able to do it. You know, maybe you're in the hospital, maybe you're sick, who knows? So I have, if I do, starting this year, if I start now and I take a weekend and I take my daughter somewhere and we have some fun, you know, we do that once a year, you know, then I have maybe 40 more times to do that with them. Now that really puts it into perspective, doesn't it? I have maybe 40 more times, and this year is almost over, so I have maybe 39 more times, you know? Well, then I better not waste one of those times. You know what I'm saying? When I go on vacation with my daughters for a weekend, I better be present. I better not be off somewhere in my mind worrying about something, you know, worrying about the business or money or, you know, bills or anything else, you know, like, or what somebody's saying about me or whatever. I better not allow myself to be distracted. You know, when I'm on vacation with my girls, I want to be there fully present, because I may only have 39 more times to do this with them, because they're going to be busy too as they get older. They may not be able to fit it in their schedule as they get busier, you know, when they're living their own lives and they have their own careers. So really, I may only have 25 more times to do that with them. You know? So yeah, would I sacrifice one of those vacations with my daughters in order to go and take a gig somewhere, or, you know, I don't know, the opportunity to make some extra money or make a name for myself or something like that, somehow get my name out into the public so I can become more famous and I can make a little bit more money, you know? Would I do that and sacrifice a weekend with my girls, knowing that I may only have 25 more times to do that with them? Would I give up one of those? No, I wouldn't. So I think that, I don't know, I just feel like we know this stuff. We all know this stuff. Why do we live like we don't know it? I don't know, man. But I'm gonna stop. From now on, I'm going to try to live more consciously and do the things that I know I should be doing and not do the things that I know I shouldn't be doing. And I'm gonna try my best, you know, and I'm gonna really try to hold myself accountable, because really, we're the only ones we have to answer to at the end of the day. Each one of us is, we're all having a unique experience, and no one else has to believe it. You know, we know it. We know we're having an experience. You know, and your experience is just as valuable as mine. And my experience is just as valuable as anyone else's. We are all having our own unique experience. Let's make it something that is meaningful to us. You know, and since we are so different, since we all are so unique, who's to say what is going to make your experience meaningful for you? I can't tell you that. Just like you can't tell me what I should do with my experience, my time here, to make my experience meaningful to me, because you don't know me like that. You know? So we all have to just answer to ourselves and decide for ourselves, what would make your time here meaningful? I hope you take a little time, you know, to think about that each day, because I think that it does take the repetition and reminding ourselves constantly, because we are all so programmed to go after what we think everybody else wants. I hope this resonates with anyone that's listening to this. I hope I'm not just talking into the ether. But even if I am, it's at least beneficial for me, because it gives me a chance to think about my thoughts. Because really, before I started recording this, before I hit record, it was just these thoughts swirling around my head. And I think by just, you know, talking out loud and just analyzing my own thoughts, it gives me an opportunity to organize my thoughts, first of all, and hear them out loud and formulate these ideas and feelings that I have, formulate them into words, you know, articulate them so that I can try to give, give them like a vocabulary, you know, so I have the right vocabulary for it. So I have the right words to explain the things that I'm feeling, you know, and I'm just working it out right now. I don't have the answers, you know. This is just something that's on my mind that I'm thinking about, and I hope you think about it too, because I think it's important. We may only have 25 more times to do the things that we love to do, you know. So take your time here seriously. Take yourself seriously, you know, because you're worth it. So am I. I honor the light in you. That's also in me. Namaste.